You told me earlier that Parks, Recreation and Cultural Services was not directly involved with the negotiations that in 1996 ended in transferring SFU lands below the Ring Road back to Burnaby to be part of Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area. What aspects of the proposed settlement would Parks have been concerned about? For instance, how the agreement would affect its operations or ability to manage the natural areas on Burnaby Mountain?
Yeah, the negotiations would have happened more probably with the planning department than with Parks Department directly, but Parks and Rec would still have been a department involved in those discussions and providing probably some commentary to the planning department. I think it would be continuity of the area, not wanting to have parks divided between above and below the Ring Road. It's very different. This just would have caused an unusual jurisdiction.
Oh, and one of the parks being above the Ring Road is Nahino Park.
Nahino Park, which...
Oh, okay.
How did we work that? Did we transfer that to them or they transfer that to us?
It's listed as part of the conservation lands, but I think it would be...
It's SFU
lands, yeah.
So I think we wanted a clear division between responsibilities. And so I think they ended up, SFU ended up taking the Hino Park, and we provided some guidelines about how it should be managed. Mm-hmm. We did have communications about having trail links meet up with each other, and then recognizing that ecosystems don't respect political boundaries, still nonetheless we wanted some certain environmental principles like preserving water courses and preserving tree cover and control for sedimentation in creeks, for example. So, I think we probably would have been key in that process of negotiations through our planning department.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So once the land was transferred to Burnaby in 1996, management of the enlarged conservation area fell to Parks.
Yes.
So the settlement and the stability that this created was perhaps what Parks needed to initiate the process for developing the first comprehensive management plan for the conservation area. What challenges did you face in the process of developing the plan?
Oh, big question. Well, certainly one of them that I made reference to earlier was... the different perspectives from recreational users. There was hiking groups who felt that they were the original trail users and felt they had seniority on the trails. Mm-hmm. And they were quite in conflict with the newer sport of mountain biking. And the trails weren't built really to accommodate both users collectively. So that was a big focus of our time, was trying to find that balance, the solution between hiking and biking. I guess we needed to understand the state, the physical state of the environment there. And we probably didn't have a lot of biophysical information. So I think we spent time collecting information on wildlife species present, vegetative cover, and just the state of the environment there. Certainly it was in transition from being logged to early growth back into kind of first growth forests, and I think there were some forest management issues there about public safety, as you know, older alder maple trees were declining, and it seemed to me that we needed to be able to clear a lot of trees to make the trail safe. There was a lot of concern for public safety with these aging, decadent trees. That was an issue that stands out in my mind. I think some of the trails weren't built to a really dependable, durable standard. So there's a lot of erosion happening on the trails that we inherited from SFU because we did not build many of the original trails. So we had to deal with erosion problems on the trails and very rough trail surface. So I know the city committed a lot of money, and we were able to get some trail restoration grants, too, to rebuild a lot of the trails. Hmm. Those are some of the key issues that stand out in my mind. Maybe we should just go over the question again.
Oh, I was just asking what challenges faced you in just in the process of developing the plan.
Hmm.
Did you have enough resources to do this, like a comprehensive survey of the natural resources and that kind of thing?
We probably did. I think we probably have had to build that up over time, build the rationale and seek funding for it. I know for trail building, we certainly got a lot of funding, including grants, as I mentioned. I think there was a lack of information on the historical aspects or First Nations aspects. And I don't remember all the details here, but for some reason, I think we tried to incorporate some First Nations information into the planning process. And I'm not sure that that came together quite as well as we wanted to. Uh-huh. You know, if I recall, I think Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area is one of the largest conservation areas in the regional district. It's a big mm-hmm. park. I think it's one of the largest. So it took quite a commitment of staff time and resources and supplemental funding of other consultants, environmental consultants, to actually complete the plan. I don't think SFU contributed to that process in any way or was involved in the process. I don't think they were.
Uh-huh. They just
I have to reflect about that.
Handed the land back.
and that was probably all it was asked for from the city, was yeah. give us our land and that city responsibility to develop the plan.
In your 1996 report to the city manager about the proposed process for the development of the management plan, you stated that the city has very little information about the newly acquired land.
Oh, there.
And I was wondering if... Yes, there you go.
I did say that. Good.
So did that surprise you that you had such little information?
Excuse me. No, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's just not part of a natural way where a city is going to spend a lot of money collecting information on biophysical resources just to have those. It's usually done for site-specific project, like let's do the management plan.
Well, is this kind of getting back to that idea that the mountain's okay, nothing's happening
yeah.
on it?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I mean, we knew things were happening. There was erosion in streams and some trails were a problem. And you could walk through the forest and sense it was aging. Like we had an awareness of it, but we didn't have a lot of really applied information. But that's not new. Other projects that I'm doing now are the same situation. You know, you spend mm-hmm. time collecting the critical information as a starting point for any sort of master plan or management plan process. And you don't need to collect all the information of everything, but there are critical pieces that usually come together here. At this time, of course, we had the advantage of having some pretty good, I think, guidelines from the State of the Environment report and environmental planning policies and best management practices for natural areas. So this was an era where a lot of those kind of guidelines and information was coming together. But, well, that's always a topic. Have you got enough information on the biophysical resources to
yes.
do the plan? What do you know and what don't you know? And
yes.
and you could collect information ad infinitum, you know. It's knowing what's critical in the process and being able to say, well, we don't know enough about this, so here's some recommendations to further gather data or to monitor this area or this issue while you're still moving forward with the plan.
So. Right.